you could do everything else in these shift principles. You could seek all the advice you wanted. You could look at your past and kind of really examine where you succeeded and where you failed and kind of know how to move forward with that. You can investigate all the options you want. You could have a purpose that is the greatest purpose in the world, but if you don't take action, if you don't own it, then nothing matters.
This is Transform You. Unfiltered ideas from global thought leaders to transform your life, elevate your career, and give shape to the person you were always meant to be. Here's your host, Nick J. Murphy.
Hey there, my friend, and welcome to Transform You, the show that helps you close the gap between where you are and where you want to be in your life, your business, and your career. My name is Nick J. Murphy. I'm honored to be your host. Thanks for being here. Listen to episode 38 and Happy New Year. I'm really excited to be back with you. I missed you guys over the long holiday break. We took about 2 weeks off, and I'm thrilled to get episode 38 back into your hands and kick off the new year right. For you new listeners, go ahead and press subscribe whatever app it is that you're listening to the show on right now to make sure that you never miss an episode. And if you're thirsty for more than just the two episodes a week we put out, go ahead and text Never Settle to 44222 to enroll in the Daily Dose. It's my 100% free email filled with quick wins and limitless inspiration. If you missed episode 36 with Lindsay Ibis, go check it out. In our conversation, Lindsay and I discuss her corporate path, how her journey in corporate America ended, how she kind of dealt with the way that that went down, and where she found her next calling in one of the most unexpected places. My guest today is John Hinkle. John's an author, life business coach, a mastermind leader, and wrote the book called Shift, which presents principles that help you successfully master career and life changes to reach purpose-filled goals. You frequent listeners know I love a good framework, and John lays out an amazing framework in his description of the Shift principles. He also created an amazing offer for you at the end of the episode, so be sure to stick around all the way to the end. I won't make you wait any longer, so let's get right into it. My guest today is John Hinkle. John is an author, a life business coach, a mastermind leader, and he's written a book, Shift, which presents principles that help people successfully master career and life changes to reach purpose-filled goals. John, thanks for being here. How are you?
Hey, I'm great, Nick. Thank you for having me on. I'm looking forward to talking with you and your audience.
Yeah, likewise. I'm really excited to dig into the principles in the Shift framework here. But before we get into that, you had a successful corporate career that spanned about 25 years. Why don't you go ahead and tell us about that?
Well, sure. I think I'm like most people who came out of college and went straight into a job. And I don't think that I had a big plan or where I wanted to go in life in terms of a career, but I started down a road working in pharmaceutical industry, advanced pretty far in terms of becoming a brand manager, then a global manager, and just kind of kept progressing up that career. All the time that I was doing that, I felt like I was not achieving really what I had wanted to achieve in life, although I was doing great things and making some good money and getting recognized for some issues. It really wasn't the place where I felt like I wanted to be in life and where I needed to be. I think eventually happens to a lot of people that kind of catches up with you. And there was a moment of time that I really realized that I really needed to kind of rethink my life, rethink my future and what I needed to do in order to be successful in my own terms.
So it's a 25-year career, lots of success. Obviously, you're not still in the corporate world in that capacity. So what was your inciting incident? What was that reason that you decided to leave? Was it your decision? How'd that all go?
You know, I think the decision was somewhat made for me, although I had full control over making the decision. And I say that because I was at a point where there are three things were happening. One was my company was being purchased by an investment company. Second was that there was a lot of changes in the industry that I was in terms of how eventually I was into advertising, healthcare advertising. And there was just a big shift in terms of how that worked. And then the third thing was that there was a recession going on. And I think all those three things together made me understand and realize that I was not really in full control of where my future lied, and wasn't sure that I was going to be able to stay doing what I was doing and continue to moving forward. And I wasn't particularly happy at the time either in terms of the things I was doing, in terms of, you know, sort of feeding my soul and feeding my abilities to be successful. So I think all those three things kind of came together at the same time and made me have made a decision that, you know, I needed to really control my own life and I needed to be in a position where, you know, nobody could control the future that I was headed on.
I love that. I'm a huge proponent of creating a career and therefore a life on our own terms. When you did decide to walk away, did you have a plan? Had you taken time before you left the corporate world to plan what you were going to do? Or was it a little bit of a choose your own adventure as you went?
It was a little bit of both. And I will say that this happens for a lot of people. And when you make a decision that you're going to leave, there's a little bit part of escaping and kind of escaping into the unknown. But then there's a little bit of part of me understanding that I had some skills and some experiences that I knew that I had that I could take forward. And so I did do some planning. And of course, I think all entrepreneurs find out that maybe the best plans that they have are not the plans that end up taking them forward. So it is quite an adventure that way. But I did make a plan. In fact, when I left, I had two major clients that I was responsible for, and they kind of came with me when I left. So that was a nice way to kind of transition into the new role that I had taken for myself.
Tell us about that new role. What was it? What were the people that came with you tasked with doing? It sounds like you kind of walked out almost Jerry Maguire style with a couple people, maybe a goldfish, and said, we're going to go do this thing. What was that thing? How did it start?
Yeah. So that thing was that I really enjoyed working with the clients that I had. And the clients that I had were really also searching in their own lives for what they really wanted to do. I think, and maybe you're the same way as I am, but I seem to attract people and around people who are also seekers like I am. And so when I left to decide that I wanted to kind of pursue this idea of finding my purpose and helping other people find their purpose, I had two clients that were clients in my advertising world who were also kind of seeking the same thing and trying to figure out what they wanted to do in their life. And some were going through some personal and family issues that were precipitating the journey they were on. And so when I left, they were able to become my clients in just in another capacity where I was able to help them still, but just help them more in terms of their personal and their career goals and their choices that they were making and how to move forward so that they could achieve the success that they were wanting to achieve in their life.
So you were about, I'm looking at the website here for the Shift Principles, it looks like you were about 50 years old when this all happened. So you weren't a spring chicken by any stretch. You certainly weren't done either. So you had plenty of time to kind of recreate this career on your terms. How'd the Shift Principles kind of develop? Was it things that you picked up in corporate and then this kind of intermediary zone, or walk through where you created those and we'll get into what those are and why I think they're relevant to the audience.
I think the transition and the transformation that I had in my own life and talking with other people who are my age, who are in the corporate world, we were all going through the same sort of ideas and thoughts and transformation. You know, I think there are a lot of guys my age who feel like they've missed the boat. They maybe have had some successes in their life, but they feel like they haven't reached where they wanted to reach, to be where they wanted to be. They may have missed the boat. The real opportunities are a little bit over for them. And so in talking, we realized, and I think I realized for myself, that really my best years are ahead of me. And I wanted to make sure that the guys, and I say guys, but women as well, that I speak with and work with, understand and can help them find their best years ahead of them. There's still a plan. There's still things that we can accomplish, still successes that are still waiting for us, which we need to have as a plan in order to execute. And what I found was that many people in the corporate world, like myself, step out of that world and it's a bit dizzying, I guess is the right word. It's almost like you're in a corporate spin cycle and you get spit out and you can't get your bearings. You can't find the ground under you because you've just been in an environment that has not allowed you to do that. You don't really have a firm plan B. You don't know how to move forward to the success you want to have. And so in talking with people, we were all feeling the same way. It helped me to develop some of these principles that would help us to find that plan B, to help us execute so that people could move forward, build a plan, their own plan that they could build and then execute for their own success. And the Shift Principles are five principles that are, I think, universal. I think you can apply them to a lot of areas in your life. But for people who are trying to find that success in their career and in their personal life, then the Shift Principles are one that seems to resonate and really helps people find the course and the action and the success they're trying to achieve.
Let's get into those here in a minute. Shift, I'm assuming, is an acronym. Are the five principles in the Shift Principles things that need to be done sequentially? Can you do bits and pieces? Do you need to do all of them at once? Kind of give us the context and then we'll get into S, I suppose.
Sure. Yes. Shift is an acronym. It stands for five principles and they are not sequential. In fact, the principles really are sort of integrated with each other. So while you're doing one, you're also kind of applying other principles. So, and they don't necessarily have to go in any order, although I will as I explain the principles to you, tell you the most important thing that you have to do of all of those five principles. And it's sort of the foundation of all of it. But it's a mindset and a game plan and principles and instruction sheets. It's all of that kind of built in together so that you have a plan B or a plan that helps you move forward when you're trying to achieve something in life, but you don't know how to take that next step. I'll tell you sort of an analogy that I use sometimes is one Christmas, my son wanted a bicycle. And so I ordered a bicycle and had it hidden in the garage in a box. And on Christmas Eve, after he had gone to bed, I opened the box only to find out that the bike was in 1,000 pieces. It was not assembled. And what's worse is that the instruction sheet was not in the box. You know, I knew what the bike was supposed to look like, and I felt pretty sure I had the tools to be able to build it, but I didn't have the instruction sheets to know how to take that first step, what to start with, and how to put all the pieces together. And I think a lot of people in their careers are that way. They know what they're trying to achieve. They can see it very clearly. They probably have the tools and the experiences throughout their career to help them get there, but they don't have an instruction sheet to help them find that way to assemble the life that they're wanting. And so I think that's what Shift Principles does. It kind of gives you that sort of instruction sheet, game plan, guidelines to help you kind of build that.
I love that. I think it's interesting because it's fuzzy. And I think you hit it on the head. A lot of people inherently somewhere deep down have the pieces that they need to put it together. But because we weren't taught in school how to do that, and we weren't taught in our job that is no longer or in the corporate world, how to go out and kind of put these pieces together, you do need a framework, I feel like. So I'm excited to kind of share the Shift Principles with the audience. Why don't we get into S? What does S stand for?
The S stands for seek advice. You know, we like to think that we're self-made people, but we're really not. And nobody can really succeed on their own. We really all need a group of people, an inner circle, a group of advisors who are helping us make the right decisions, helping us to see the places where we're weak or things that we don't know, show us the way forward to fill in the gaps. And I think that's true of everybody. And so the S stands for seek advice. Nobody in life has ever succeeded by themselves. And you can go through history. You know, King Arthur had his court, Robin Hood had his merry men, Steve Jobs has a board of directors, Jesus had his disciples, for goodness sakes. I mean, everybody who succeeds in life has a group of people that they have to have around them to help them succeed. And so that's what the S stands for. In our mastermind and in our courses and in my coaching, I show people how to assess the kinds of people they need to have around them. We do a gap analysis on their own abilities and skills, and then try to match that with people in their lives or people who they need to put into their lives who can help fill those gaps. We kind of build a board of directors for people to help them have those right people. So that's the S.
As far as seeking advice goes, I feel like when people come out of whatever transition it is and they're seeking that advice and trying to find their tribe and build up some knowledge, a lot of people feel like they might be siloed inside their network. They only know who they know. What advice would you have for people to seek that advice outside of their network, and kind of if you have any quick places to look or skills or tips to invite those people into that conversation, where would someone that's interested in that idea but doesn't know where to start?
You know, I think it's a process, but I think you start with your network, and I think that's where people who know you best, and you just ask, you reach out and you say, look, this is where I feel like I need some help with, or this is a skill set that I'm lacking, or this is an area that I'm trying to go in and I'm looking for somebody who's got this kind of skill or this kind of experience who can help me. Do you know somebody who you can reach out to? That I think it's a process that way. I am also a big believer that not everybody on your team has to know you, or you don't have to know them. I would say that Seth Godin is on my team. He doesn't know it. I may never have met Seth Godin, and he may never meet me, but I read a lot about what Seth writes about, and it speaks to me, and I use that. So I feel like your inner circle should be people that you know and that you can interact with, but they don't have to always be. I think you should seek wisdom and seek instruction and seek guidance wherever you can find it that's good guidance. But I think starting with your own network and then expanding out from there. I mean, there's always network opportunities and organizations around where anybody who's listening lives, and those are also good places to go. But I find the best place is to start with the people you already know, because they know people that you don't know, and you can just expand your circle that way.
Absolutely. We had a guest a couple of weeks back. Josh McClain talked about the idea of virtual mentors, and that, you know, Seth Godin example certainly fits that. There's a lot of people that you can pull in to learn from and grab ideas as you seek that advice. So go ahead and take advantage of the tools around you. You don't necessarily have to know anyone. That's a good thing to remember. So the H in the Shift Principles stands for honor the past.
Yes. So honor your past is about, when I say honor your past, what I mean is that you need to go back and you need to look and assess and take stock of your experiences, your successes, and even your failures or the areas where you have had setbacks. You know, we're all in this life, and if you've been in a career for any amount of time, you've got some baggage, you're carrying baggage. Some of that baggage is successful baggage, and you need to keep carrying it to move forward. Some of it is not so useful, and you need to drop it. But sometimes we don't examine the baggage that we're carrying. So what I mean by that is that we should all kind of open up our bags, look at the successes we've had, kind of understand why those successes happened, so that we can use those and the knowledge and the information about that to carry forward to future successes. We also need to look at back at the failures we've had or the setbacks, and we need to look at those carefully. And I use an example of maybe there's a failure in your past that you're kind of hanging on to, and it's just kind of nagging you and you can't get rid of it, and it's kind of undermining your self-confidence or your ability to move forward. But if you can break open that failure, sometimes you'll see that there were a lot of little successes within it. The whole thing may have failed, but there may have been successful pieces within it that you should learn from and understand and use to carry forward. So I think part of what's important for us when we're looking backwards is to see the things that helped us that we can harness to move forward, and then to understand the things that we need to drop. And when I say that, I think most of what we need to drop are those perceptions of ourselves that are negative, those experiences we had that have burned us a bit and keep us from kind of moving forward in a positive and self-confident way. So that's the H, is honor your past.
Just real quick, I think that's a really good one. And it just kind of hit me in the head as you said that. So much of the time when we say honor the past, we focus on the outcomes. And so what was the outcome of this thing? And we forget about the successes we had in that journey. So the trigger for me, as you said that, that kind of framed it in a way I hadn't thought about it. You hear past and you think, okay, well, what was the thing that we remember as the outcome from the journey? But to really dig into those successes and failures, regardless of whether the outcome was positive or negative, there were certainly successes and things to look at. So I just want to kind of chime in on that.
I think we always look at the outcomes, and that's sort of what we focus on, but it's the process and the things that we learned and the experiences we had that can always be applied moving forward, or not always, but most of the time can be applied moving forward. So I think that's a very important thing to do. I don't know what kind of person you are, but the kind of person I am is sometimes I'll look back and I'll want to forget something that happened that wasn't necessarily a happy incident for me. But I found that when I was able to just kind of really stop, and as painful as it might have been and as humbling as it might have been to really explore it, I found that really there's more strength there. There's more success there than I realized. And the failure wasn't my failure. It may have just been the project didn't work, or the job didn't work, or that relationship didn't work, but it doesn't mean that it was a failure. It was an opportunity to learn and move things forward.
Totally agree. We are to the I, and the I in the Shift Principle stands for?
Investigate options. And when we make goals, we tend to think of the fastest and straightest line to reach that goal. And that's not really the way life works. Life works a lot of times sideways and backwards and in different ways, much more interesting, much more challenging, but much more valuable than just moving straight towards a goal. There's a couple of analogies here. So if I were, or if you were on the road and you were wanting to leave, I think you live in Phoenix, don't you, or somewhere?
Sometimes.
Okay. Well, I live in Dallas, Fort Worth area. So if I wanted to go to Austin, Texas, I would get on I-35 and head straight line down to Austin. But I-35 has been under construction for the last 30 years. I don't know if it'll ever be finished. And so oftentimes there will be traffic jams or the road will be closed. And never once when I go to Austin and the road is closed or I hit a backup where the traffic is stopped, do I ever think that I'm going to turn around and go back home. I just don't think that way. Nobody does. What you do instead is you pull out your navigation system and you figure out, okay, which road do I get off on, and what's the other alternate roads to get there? And I think that's just sort of a natural thing we do in our life. when it comes to things like driving. But when it comes to career and goals, we don't do that. We tend to, if we get stuck on the road that we're headed on, we stop and sometimes give up. And too many entrepreneurs, I think, give up when they hit a roadblock on what they're trying to achieve in their business. So investigating options is really about just looking at and being intentional about finding alternate ways to get to where you're trying to go, and to always be really cognizant that if the path you're on is not working, there's always a way around it. There's always a workaround.
Yeah, it's always amazing to me the amount of work that we go in and the problem solving that we will put on these things that are insignificant, like how to avoid traffic or where to find the best deal in the local grocery store. But the things that matter most to us in our lives, we have one little thing come up and all of our condition limitations and fears want to creep in and say, well, I guess maybe that just wasn't in the cards for me. I'll start completely over. And it's an interesting part of the human experience that we really need to actively unlearn some of these conditioned beliefs.
Yeah, and there's a couple of things that we do to help people find those alternate routes. One is that you can start from the beginning and kind of map out different ways to get to where you're going. And that works really well for a lot of people. Some people have a hard time doing that. So another way that we can do that is you can start with the end and then you can say, okay, what is the last thing I have to accomplish in order to achieve this goal? And then what is the thing before that that I have to accomplish to reach that goal? So you're kind of working your goal backwards until you get to the starting line. And that's sometimes very helpful because for some people, because by the time they've gotten to the end, they've already imagined and had a vision about what the end looks like and what it took to get there. So it's a matter of just executing on things that their mind has already solved, if that makes sense in what I'm saying.
Makes complete sense. I've learned in kind of studying psychology and sports psychology in particular that the mind doesn't know the difference between real and imagined thoughts. I mean, if you visualize enough, like your brain will have seen it and your brain in the background will find a way to make it so. And so visualization can sound kind of foo-foo and zen and like, you know, you should go sit in a yoga pose in a burning hot room and think about it, but it's super, super powerful. So if you're one of those people that's kind of a skeptic, I'm naturally kind of skeptical and a little cynical in my sense of humor, but try it. It works. And when it works, it will blow your mind and change the way you think about visualization and starting with that end goal in a visual sense in your brain.
It is pretty amazing. And then the F stands for focus on purpose. And I know there's tons of stuff written on your finding your why and your purpose. But that is absolutely essential to getting any goal that's worthwhile in life, is to be able to understand what the purpose is behind what you're doing and to be able to really fall back on that always. So that if you're on that road and you get sidetracked and you get stuck, you can always go back to that purpose, which is your true north, that should be inspiring you and that should help you focus in on what you're trying to achieve in your business or in your life in general. And I think the thing that I like to teach people, and I like to make sure that there is a connection, that your why is connected to a who, that there is a person or something beyond yourself that is attached to your purpose. I find that for myself and other people, that if you have a purpose that is about yourself and it doesn't really involve somebody else, then it's pretty shallow. When you reach the end of it, it's not very satisfying. So I think when we talk about focus on purpose, it's really about focusing on your why, but also the who. Who are you doing this for? Who are you serving? Who are you beside yourself? Something bigger than yourself that you're trying to achieve a purpose for.
Talk a little bit about how that changes and evolves. You know, you're quite a ways on the journey in your career. I'm assuming that at some point you've realized that purpose is a little more important to you these days than it might have been back in the day. So for these shift principles, regardless of where you are in their career, how does purpose and the search for purpose change, or in your mind, does it change with kind of the seasons of our careers and our lives?
I do think it changes. I think the older you get, the more you think about legacy and what you want to leave for others. I think when you're younger, you think, what do I want to achieve for myself? Maybe what I want to achieve for my family. But I think as you get older, I think you really do start to think about, you know, what legacy do I want to leave? And I was reminded of that this been a month ago, I guess now, when former President Bush died, and there were lots of people talking about his legacy and the things that he achieved. And a couple things struck me. I heard a commentator on TV say of George Bush that he was a good man and a great man. And I thought that struck me that those two things were actually two different things. He was a good man, meaning he was likable and people liked him and he did great things. But he was a great man because he achieved great things. And I think the older I get, the more I want to be seen as somebody who's good, you know, who does the right thing, but also somebody who's great, who achieves the right things. And so I do think it changes over the time. And one of the things I don't want people to get hung up on, though, is that purpose has to be this big global something. And we have all kinds of examples around us about people who find their purpose and they're feeding thousands of people in India, or they're building water wells all over Africa. And those are wonderful things. We don't all have the opportunity to fulfill those kinds of purposes. So, you know, I think our purpose should be something that we can affect in the world around us where we live. I think that's first and foremost. So your purpose may be being the best husband or father that you can be, or it may be the working in your community to help your community be the best it can be. If you're religious or a person of faith, and it is being the best Christian or the best believer that you can be. And so I think those are purposes that are absolutely something that we can all attain, we can all seek and reach. They don't have to be, you know, these big, gigantic global things that many of us will never, you know, have the opportunity to impact.
All right. We are going through John Hinkle's shift principles. And just to recap here before we get into the final one, we have S for seek advice, H for honor the past, I is investigate options, F is focus on purpose, which takes us to the T. And what is that?
T is take ownership. And you could do everything else in these shift principles. You could seek all the advice you wanted. You could look at your past and kind of really examine where you succeeded and where you failed and kind of know how to move forward with that. You can investigate all the options you want. You could have a purpose that is the greatest purpose in the world, but if you don't take action, if you don't own it, then nothing matters. I save that one for last because taking ownership can be the hardest thing. Take ownership means risk. Take ownership means that you might fail. Take ownership means that you can't blame anybody else. You're responsible for the decisions. You're responsible for the processes. You're responsible for the outcome. And it's all on you. But that is the most critical part of all of it, because you're the only one who can make the success out of your life with the help of others and with some plans and instructions and things. But ultimately, it falls on you. So if you're not taking ownership, if you're not just doing it, then the rest of it doesn't matter at all.
I love that you put this into a framework. I think, like we said at the top of the show, that these are things that people have heard maybe from different places, but I always love when I have guests that have organized this knowledge into something that's so simple, hypothetically simple, right? Like SHIFT, it's a great acronym, but you've taken something really complex and that could be very fuzzy, and you've made it very actionable and very achievable. So I'm impressed with that. How did you, just because I'm a geek like this, like how did you put this together? Like what kind of process was it? Was it a bunch of sticky notes and pads, or one day you're on an airplane and it just goes, holy cow, this is the thing?
Well, it was an evolution. I have a partner named Russell Lake, and he and I co-wrote the book SHIFT. And we were trying to think about these transformations and these principles that would help people move forward. We were talking about, you know, it's really about transformation. It's really about helping people move from where they are to where they want to be. And pivot, you know, the word pivot is often used in that. But we wanted to try to create an acronym because we wanted it to be easy to remember. And we wanted to be able to create something that made sense. And so I think it just sort of evolved to the word SHIFT. And so when we wrote the book, SHIFT, and we haven't talked about that, but the book SHIFT has these principles in it, but it's in a story format. And there's a character who's going through the things that we've been talking about, sort of that mid-career, not sure if he had missed the boat or if he had ever achieved the goals he wanted. And he goes through this adventure, and there's a mentor who shows up in his life and kind of teaches him these SHIFT principles. That's sort of how it evolved.
Yeah, we'll make sure to link to the book in the show notes. I love that you put it in a story kind of framework, because I love my business books. I've got a shelf right behind me right now with dozens and dozens of them. But the idea of reading something with a character and kind of learning the lessons in a way that's not quite so clinical sounds really appealing to me. So I'm going to check out the book for sure.
I think it works out well because I think everybody who's read this book that I've spoken with thinks it is about them. The character is like you and I, you know, he's kind of been knocked down. He's got a boss who won't give him credit for anything. And there's that pressure. And then he's got the pressure at home and he's got his buddies who all seem to be more successful than he is. All those kinds of pressures that guys particularly have with regards to their careers. And he just doesn't know how to move forward. And not until he is forced to and meets somebody who can help him walk through a way forward does he find the success in his life that he's been looking for. And it's sort of a Hollywood ending to the book, but that's what makes it, I think, fun for people to read and instructional.
I love it. Go ahead and plug it for a second. Who is the ideal reader for that? Where are they in their life and kind of what are they looking to gain?
I think the ideal person for this book is anybody who is sort of in their mid-career who feels like they've got a lot of experiences and they really think that they can reach their goals, but they've been knocked down a few times and not sure exactly how to get up and keep moving forward. The character in this book is an everyman kind of person, a little bit of a whiner maybe in the sense that he's, you know, he kind of looks around him and wonders, why not me? I think that's a lot of us, right? Why not me? And I think he's also what I would call the working worried. He's got a job, but the company he's working with is a little bit unstable. There's an inciting event that happens in the book that really shows him that he's really kind of on the edge of a pit. And it just takes one little nudge for him to have lost everything. So I think it's guys like that who have been in careers, who have fought the good fight, who still think that they want to succeed and can succeed, but just haven't been able to quite put it all together and make it happen. And the shift principles are the principles that will give them a little bit of a guidance, give them a game plan, help them get into the game and win on their own terms.
And just to recap, those principles are seek advice, honor the past, investigate options, focus on purpose, and take ownership. John, this is great stuff. We play a little game here on Transform U called Rapid Fire. And it's about that time. So with your permission, we can dig into rapid fire.
Sounds good.
What do you think about when you're alone in your car?
When I'm in my car, when I'm alone, I still worry a lot about, am I going to achieve what I'm wanting to achieve in life? And even though I have written a book and I'm doing what I'm doing, I think people like me and maybe like you still always want to be sure and always worried about, are they leaving the legacy? Are they going to be doing the things in their life that is going to be purposeful?
What's your advice for your previous boss?
I think would be to have more self-awareness about the people that he's leading. You know, if you read the book, you'll see that the boss who is in this book is probably representative of a lot of people's bosses who is a bit interested in his own career to the detriment of anybody else around him.
What do you want to be when you grow up?
I want to be a successful author and a successful speaker.
What inspires you?
Oh, goodness. I get inspired by a lot of things. I'm a man of faith, so I get inspired by the things that I read that have to do with my faith. And that gives me a lot of purpose and a lot of direction and helps me to be introspective about the things I'm doing and making sure that I'm doing the things that are honorable and right.
What is your biggest fear?
My biggest fear is to not achieve the potential I think I'm able to.
Who do you admire the most?
You know, and I'm going to say this only because it's most recent in my mind, but I really, listening to what was going on with the memorials and all that for George Bush, I really think that I regained or maybe found an admiration for him. And just in the terms of his life being one of service and achievement, adventure, success, I think that's been real inspiration as I've listened back at his life.
Which celebrity annoys you the most?
Oh, I think the Kardashians. I don't know much about them, but they a little bit annoy me, just in the sense that I can't understand. It seems to be fame without purpose.
That's very, very well said. You hit it on the head, I think. How do you define success?
I define success for myself as, again, finding and being really involved in the things that give purpose to my life and also add to my family, which is the number one thing in my life.
All right, last one. You get to share a drink or a meal with anyone in history, dead or alive. Who is it and why?
I think I would love to have a drink with King Henry VIII and his court, not just him, but his court. Because I just find that whole medieval kind of era kind of fascinating to me.
All right, John, congratulations. You survived rapid fire. And before we let you go, what's your number one parting piece of advice for my audience? And how can we connect with you more closely online?
You know, I think the number one advice I'd have is don't give up. I don't know exactly where you might be in your career, what setbacks you might have had, but your best days really are ahead of you. And what you really need to do is just find a system, a way to create that path forward for yourself, and then just go for it. You still have a lot to contribute. You still have a lot to accomplish in your life. And I just encourage everybody to not think that this time is past for you, but to think that there's a lot of time left for you to achieve everything you want to achieve.
Great. And how can my audience connect with you more closely online if we want to follow more of your work outside of ordering the Shift Principles book, which I'm going to do myself and I recommend all of you guys do as well?
Great. Yes, you can get the Shift book on my website, which is www.shiftprinciples.com, or you can order it on Amazon. And for your audience, Nick, I've put together a landing page. And if people would like to go to www.shiftprinciples.com/transform, I have three offers for them. I have an infograph of the Shift Principles. So it's one thing to hear them, I guess, on this podcast, but it's another thing maybe to download them and have them in front of you that you can refer to. So that's a free download if you want to do that. Secondly, I have a book offer for you. If you do want to order the book for free, then you can order it on the website and pay for shipping and handling, and we'll get that book straight to you right away. And then the third offer is, if anybody really wants to learn more about the Shift Principles or learn about how Shift Principles might help them move forward in their life and achieve the things they're wanting to achieve, then you can schedule a 30-minute free consult with me, and we can sit down and talk about what's going on in your life and see if it makes good sense to work together or just to find out more about the Shift Principles.
Great stuff. Awesome offers. I will put the links to all that stuff in the show notes. I highly encourage all of you listeners out there to go check it out. And again, just to recap the Shift Principles: S, seek advice; H, honor the past; I, investigate options; F, focus on purpose; and T, take ownership. John, it's been a pleasure. You obviously have spent a lifetime figuring this stuff out and going through it yourself. And I really appreciate you putting it into a framework so easy to digest and then spending the time to explain it to me today.
Well, thank you so much for giving me the time, and I've enjoyed talking with you, and just wish the best to your audience and to you.
Thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon. And there you have it. I hope you enjoyed that conversation with John Hinkle. What a generous gift. I can tell you I'm about halfway through my free copy of Shift right now, and I highly, highly recommend it. Speaking of books, my book, Unboxed: How to Create a Career on Your Terms, is available for pre-order on Amazon. It will come out on January 22nd. Really, really excited about that. I've been working on it for months. If you frequent listeners have been paying attention, you know that. And I'm really, really excited to get that book in your hands. So we'll talk a lot more about that here over the next couple of weeks, kind of the content. I'm going to do a couple shows around those principles in case you don't buy the book. But I really encourage you to go ahead and take advantage of that pre-order special. This could be available on Amazon by the time this episode airs. If you haven't yet, please subscribe to the show to make sure you never miss an episode. And if you love what you're hearing, please give Transform You a 5-star rating and leave a positive review for us out there on iTunes. And as always, whatever you do, whatever you aspire to do, never settle. Thanks for being here. I'll talk to you Thursday.
You've been listening to Transform You with your host, Nick J. Murphy. To ensure you never miss an episode, subscribe today wherever you listen to podcasts.